The following program is paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning, and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please stay with me. It won't be long, just about 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, some education, and as we always say, no manipulation. That's right. We're not going to try to con you into doing anything. No requesting for money, no offerings taken. Not trying to sell you anything, but we want to give you some information that'll help you verify and hopefully identify the plan of God for your life. And if you're able to do that, then we pray that you would orient and adjust to that plan. That's my objective, to give you the good news, the wonderful good news of God's prevailing plan for your life and what that actually means for you. We are moving into the year 2024, and what an exciting time that would be. But we have a lot of things going on. First of all, many of you have requested the book God's Grace and Aging. That book was delayed at the printer because of the holidays, but we now have it in hand, and we are beginning to mail it out this week and next week. So if you requested God's Grace and Aging, it will be on the way. Already we've had well over 1,000 requests for that free book that we offer, and thank you for asking to read the information. I think it'll help you understand what God's plan is for your life as you grow older. Now, we want to talk about some interesting things today, and I hope you'll stay with me. It's a very critical time for us in this new year coming up. Who knows what's going to happen? But we're moving into the year 2024. Can you believe that? The really big question to be answered is, what can we expect in this coming year? What's it going to be like? Not only what can you expect individually, personally, in your own personal life, but what can we expect in our nation and the way things are going? All the big shot radio talk show conservative hosts are predicting a year of chaos. And not only across the nation, but perhaps throughout the entire world. I have a friend who recently wrote me an article about their assessment of what we face in the future. Here's what my friend said. My friend said this, said, "We are a sovereign nation that has defined borders. Not enforcing our borders now is a direct attack on our sovereignty. The oligarchy trying to dismantle our country, as well as others across the globe who hate us, can best accomplish their goals by rewriting our history and destroying anything that refers to past accomplishments in America. Then there's the travesty of public school systems, many of which are failing to educate our youth, and the failure of many churches to teach the Bible, to teach Scripture, along with the American industry moving to other countries for cheaper labor, giving American dollars to our known enemies, and all the time pushing for one world government, which is exactly what Satan wishes to accomplish, so he can introduce what is in the Bible is called the Antichrist." Revelation 13, 1 through 10, my notes are right there. You say, who is the Antichrist? Well, he is one of the two great dictators who emerged in what's called the Tribulation. He is the beast out of the Sea of Nations, the Gentile ruler of the revived Roman Empire, supposedly a 10-nation empire, and he's also the leader of ecumenical religion during the tribulation. He's called by many different titles, but he is the Antichrist, the one called the 666. So we're headed that way, aren't we? A lot of people seem to think the end is near. A lot of people think the end is coming. And a lot of people say, well, maybe we're approaching the return of Jesus Christ to this planet. Some people say, will the great nations of the world erupt into total war? Will we have an all-out World War III? Will we face nuclear war with Russia and China and maybe even North Korea as the new year comes around in 2024? Or perhaps our government will come out and admit we're being visited by aliens from other planets, little green men who have advanced technology to what we know? That's a question to ask. But here's the greatest question. This is the question I have to ask you. This applies to you more than any other question that I have. Even the greater question is this, will this be the year that you die? Will this be the year that you die? If you will allow me, I'll try to answer many of these questions today on the program, and I'll start with the last thing I just asked you. Will this be the year that you die? Hebrews 9:27 tells us, "And as it is appointed to men to die once, but after this the judgment." In Psalm chapter 90, verse 10, "The days of our lives are 70 years, and by reason of strength they are 80 years. Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." Death to you may be a morbid thought, but the reality of it is this, that we will all die. Hebrews 9:27 said it. It's appointed for men once to die, and after that the judgment. I'm sorry to tell you this, but you have no control over the time and the manner of your human termination, but you do absolutely, absolutely have a choice about where you will spend eternity once your earth days are complete. The Scriptures clearly say the choice is yours to make. In John 3:16, the verses you've heard for years, reading through verse 18, the Bible says, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world," that was not the objective of God, "but that the world through him might be delivered. He who believes in him will not be condemned, but he who does not believe in is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." So you have a choice to make. Who do you think Jesus Christ is? Do you think he's the anointed Son of God that went to the cross and died for you? That's your choice. And it's always your choice. God's not going to force you to accept what Christ provided. You have to make that decision on your own. But if you do choose to receive Christ as your Savior, and I pray you will, it is your ironclad guarantee of eternal life with God, and along with the millions of others who have made the same choice. So let me ask you today, have you trusted Christ to save you? Have you received him as your Savior? Is that done? Is that taken care of? John 1:12, "But as many as receive him," that's what I said, have you received him? "But as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name." That's all you have to do. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the anointed Son of God? Do you believe that he went to the cross and took your place and paid for your sin? Or do you think you can earn God's forgiveness? Because the Bible says there are none that are good, no, not one. Even all of our good works are like filthy rags in God's eyes. You can't earn God's forgiveness. The Bible clearly says, "For by grace are you saved through your faith, and it's a gift from God, not of works, lest anyone should brag about it." So, have you received Christ as your Savior? That's the eternal question you must answer, because if this is the year that your number is up, and if this is the year that God calls you to come to heaven and face him, that's the first question. Have you accepted my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your personal Savior? Why is that important? Well, listen to 1 John 5:12. "He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know for sure," my words, "that you may know for sure that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." Why don't we settle it today? Why don't we nail it down now? Why don't you, right this very minute, tell God you would like to receive Christ as your Savior? It's a simple prayer. That's all I did, and that's all you have to do. You can simply say, "Father, I believe Christ died for me, and I want to accept him as my Savior." That's it. Why do you say that's it? Well, whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what the Bible says. And if you did that, if you just sit here and you ask the Lord to save you, he's not a liar. He will do it. And then we don't have to worry about it if this is the year that you die. Because sooner or later, we will all die. So do you have Christ as your personal Savior? If this is the year of your departure, will you go to heaven? Do you have that confidence? Can you truly know it? Yes, I read it to you. "These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." You don't have to hope and you don't have to pray about it. Please save me, please save me. Listen, when you come to God and you tell him you are accepting Christ as your Savior, that one time is enough. You don't have to do it 50 times. One time is enough. Now, the next question is, what do you do with it after you accept Christ as your Savior? Because I have known many people who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and all they really want is a bus ticket out of hell to go to heaven. But what about you? Do you really want to know God? Do you really want to understand God's plan for your life? Well, it starts with you accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, let's go to the next question I want to ask you. Here's another thought. Are we headed for a war with China or Russia or maybe even North Korea? And if we are, what will that mean for you? Are we going to have World War III break out in the year 2024? The disciples had questions like this. Listen to Matthew 24, 3 through 8. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will the sign of your coming be in the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one trick you, deceive you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and many will deceive many. And you will hear of wars. You will hear of rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled because of this, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdoms will rise against kingdom. And there will be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places, and all these are the beginnings of sorrow." You know, people like to try to scare you with World War III and nuclear war and all life will be wiped out. That is not what the Bible says. The Bible clearly tells us how this world will end, and the Bible tells us the next prophetic event for the Christian is called the rapture of the church, the exit resurrection. And that's seen in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. If you are a Christian, that could happen today. But as far as the world being destroyed in a massive world war, nuclear, thermonuclear war, it will not happen according to the Bible. There must be a 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ here in his resurrection body, called the millennial reign of Christ, before the Lord will personally terminate this world, according to 2 Peter. So the disciples had questions. They were asking the Lord, "When will these things be terminated?" But here's a better question for you to ask and for me to ask. Will our nation, will America, will we endure the upcoming events of election year, as well as the international hatred for America because of our support of Israel in this current war with the Palestinians? What about us? Will we endure it? Going all the way back to the book of Genesis, we find some words recorded that we can take comfort in. In Genesis 12, 1 through 3, the Bible says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, leave your family, go from your father's house, and I will show you a land that I want you to go to, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing.'" This is God's covenant with Abraham. Listen carefully now. Verse 3, Genesis 12, "I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse the ones that curse you, and you and all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." According to the scriptures here that I just read to you, there's no doubt that we should stand behind and support the Jew. This is not a political show. I'm not a politician, but it's simply a statement I make based on the validity of the sacred Bible. If you're concerned about the destiny of America, I want to give you two terms you need to understand. The first one is what we call a client nation, and the second is called the pivot, being a member of the pivot. So let's start with a term about a client nation. A client nation is identified in the Bible as a national entity under the patronage of God. And that nation is assigned the responsibility for the formation, the preservation, the communication, and the fulfillment of the canon of Scripture. I'm very proud to say that today America is a Gentile client nation to God. A client nation to God is a nation under divine protection. You can see that from the past and some of the things we've been through. Because why? Why would it be under divine protection? Because it has a large pivot of mature believers. And that's the other term I want you to get, pivot. We're going to talk about it. A large pivot of mature believers. These mature believers have what's called blessing by association to those around them and even historical blessing to their nation. But what you need to remember is that a client nation is destroyed by a lack of a pivot, by believers that go into reverse process reversionism, believers who spin off from the pivot, people that should have been mature believers by now, and they reject the Word of God, and they begin to go backwards. Some people call them backsliders, but the pivot shrinks. And if the pivot shrinks, the nation loses its client nation status with God and can undergo even the five cycles of discipline. So a client nation like America, we have basically five things God's holding us accountable for. We must evangelize our own population at home. Of course, that's becoming harder and harder to do. American Freedom from Religion Foundation sues somebody every time they try to put up a cross, every time they try to put a nativity scene, every time they try to give the gospel in a school, they want to sue, write a letter, threaten the school, can't talk about God, can't talk about Jesus, can't do it in the public arena. But, oh, by the way, we can have a satanic temple in the capital of some states, and we can have satanic Bible clubs. That's satanic clubs to study Satan after school in some schools. That's okay. But now we can't do that with the Bible sometimes. It's interesting. When I first went into the ministry, I spoke in hundreds of schools across the Southeast, and there was no problem. No problem at all. And many young people had the opportunity to hear God's plan. We must evangelize our population. We must reach the young people in our nation. Because you don't realize this, social media is reaching them. They all have a cell phone. They all have a computer. They all have an iPad. And they're being recruited every day by the forces of Satan, I assure you. We must evangelize our own population at home, and it must start with mama and daddy giving the gospel to their children, our grandmother and grandfather giving the gospel to their grandchildren. It must start that way. The second thing we must do as a client nation is we must communicate the Word of God to the believers in the nation. You've heard me talk about the fog over America before. You've heard me talk about a failure of spiritual leadership before. We've gotten away from teaching the Word of God. We've gotten away from that. We've gotten away from going in depth to the Word of God. And God's protocol plan is not being taught anymore. We use a lot of terms like Lord willing and God bless you, brother, and I'll pray for you, sister, and turn it over to Jesus now. But nobody tells you how to do that. Nobody tells you what that means. We don't communicate Bible doctrine to the believers in this nation. Let me show you an example. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If I take that verse and teach it to you exegetically, it could take me possibly 6 months, maybe even a year, to cover that verse. One verse. For God, the doctrine of God. We could stop right there and do the doctrine of God. Can you tell me the essence of God, that he's sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, immutability, omnipotence, omniscience? Can you tell me the essence of God? Do you know what it is? If you don't, when they say, for God so loved the world, what do we know about God? Don't you remember I've told you before that God said he's looking for people that not only know him, but understand him? Do you understand his justice and his righteousness are the guardians of his love? God loves you, but what the love of God cannot bless, what the righteousness of God rejects. And what the righteousness of God rejects, the justice of God must judge. So, do you understand God? We're not teaching the Bible. We turned into a dolly whirl in a lot of our churches where people sing and they say, I'm coming to worship, but no instruction, no communication about how we're supposed to work. We just think it's going to get up there and pray, and God's going to answer the prayer all of a sudden, and that's not necessarily true. A client nation also must be what? Responsible for the custodianship of the Word of God to make sure it's not distorted, to make sure it's not twisted. And that's why the Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We must take care. We must be careful not to let it be twisted. And we must provide to be, we must be a haven for the Jew. Yes, I read you that passage. And finally, a client nation like us, we must be responsible for missionaries going out across the world to evangelize other nations. Those things right there, we evangelize our own population, we communicate Bible doctrine to the believers in our nation, we are responsible for the custodianship of the Word of God, we provide a haven for the Jew, and it's our responsibility to send out missionaries to evangelize other nations. Those are our five responsibilities as a client nation. And you can watch history. You can determine if God is blessing or bringing discipline on this client nation. Because a client nation under the fifth cycle of discipline can expect military defeat. A client nation such as us, if we go under the five cycles of discipline, we can expect foreign occupation. We can expect famine with no relief from God, since he was despised and rejected during the good times. You can read all about it. Leviticus 26, 27 through 39. Leviticus 26, 27 through 39. There it is, all five cycles of discipline. And this is exactly what happened to Israel and eventually Judah. And it's what will happen to this Gentile client nation if we forsake our plan. So as a member of the pivot, you can sustain your nation in these sinful days. So the question is, how would you become a member of the pivot? Now, what is that? Well, a pivot member is a believer who has some spiritual momentum in his life, male or female. This type of person stands out as opposed to those who have no spiritual momentum and spend their time in the cosmic system chasing the details of life. But the true Christian influence in a national entity is a spiritual influence. And the believer's civil responsibility is defined under the laws of divine establishment as in Romans 13, 1 through 10. You want to hear it? This is the Christian influence in a nationality such as America, in a client nation. Romans 13, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. There is no authority, listen carefully, there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinances of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. But do you want to be unafraid out of authority? Then do what's right. Do good, and you'll have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, then be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. That's the criminal. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of the wrath, but also for conscience sake. And for because of this, you must also pay your taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear is due, and honor to whom honor is due, and love your neighbor. And owe no man anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law of God. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there's any other mandate, they're all summed up in the saying, namely, love your neighbor as yourself, because love does no harm to a neighbor, and therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. That's a lot I just read to you, and I'm asking you to read it yourself, Romans 13, 1 through 10. And I'm asking you to join the pivot this morning. I'm asking you to make your relationship with God your priority number one in your life. Your relationship with God and his word, priority number one. And you start by using Rebound every day. That's what gives you the filling of the Holy Spirit. Problem-solving device number one, Rebound. Those 10 problem-solving devices that we base our radio show on. If you don't know what they are, contact us and we'll send you a book explaining them to you. But Rebound is 1 John 1:9. When you confess known sin that allows the Holy Spirit to fill you, When you sin, you quench the Holy Spirit and you grieve the Holy Spirit, and you cannot live the Christian life under the energy of the flesh. So if you will stay filled with the Holy Spirit, then do whatever it takes. But whatever it takes, find a well-qualified pastor who can feed your hungry soul. Because the road to spiritual maturity is not an easy road to follow. There will be distractions, there will be distortions, but God the Holy Spirit will guide you and sustain you in this coming year if, in fact, you're ready to take up your spiritual life and be serious about it and become part of the pivot in this client nation. I'm asking you, join me in the pivot. I'm counting on you to step up and be the anchor that this nation needs. I'm counting on you to focus your attention on what the Word of God says and don't be distracted by all the speculation of the cosmic system and what they'll throw at you in regards to spacemen and other weird events that might happen. Our Lord will return soon enough. You just need to be ready. 1 Thessalonians 5:1-6, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And they shall not escape, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that in this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day, and we are not of the night nor in the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others sleep, and let us watch, let us be sober. Let us pay attention. 2024, could the Lord Jesus Christ come back in 2024? Yes. Could America be destroyed in 2024 and lose its client nation status? Yes. Could you be a part of the pivot and deliver this nation in 2024? Yes. I've explained that to you. My prayer is you will get under the ministry of a great pastor, learn the Word of God, put it to use in your life, stay filled with the Holy Spirit, and glorify God to the maximum by representing Jesus Christ through your life, to your friends, to your family, through your church, and through your home. Thank you for listening. Please come back next week, same time, same place. Until then, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Floodline.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org. The preceding program was paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.